Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, John Ledyard of thedraftnetwork.com will join me to talk about his 7-round mock draft. When he put together just before the start of the NFL Combine here, we'll talk about the players that he is projecting the Steelers to take in late April in the NFL draft. Replacement for Antonio Brown, some help in the secondary there, linebacking help, maybe a little later in the draft. We'll talk to John about all of that today. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Serino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. Search Locked On Steelers. Hit that subscribe button. Make sure you get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find us on Facebook by searching Locked On Steelers. Hit the like button on the Facebook page. But I really encourage you, join the Facebook group. A great group of guys in there talking Steelers on a daily basis. And then you can also find us on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. Let's welcome in John Ledyard from The Draft Network. You can also find his work right here on the Locked On Podcast Network as the co-host of the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John, welcome back to Locked On Steelers.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, listen, I think a lot of Steeler fans are going to love this mock draft you put out the other day. Now, I want to start with this. You put this mock draft out, I think, just hours before, maybe minutes before Antonio Brown asked for that trade. Was that in your mind, this whole Antonio Brown situation, the fact that the Steelers might be losing him now when you put together this mock draft?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you got to think about it because, you know, if Antonio Brown's back and they don't lose him, then wide receiver's really not a need really almost at all for this team. I mean, they've got their top three, so it's your fourth, and you pick up somebody in free agency or somebody in the offseason, or maybe you draft somebody late, but it's clearly not a big need for them. But at this point, given the way it looks like things are progressing and with AB maybe not on the roster by the time the 2019 season starts, I think you got to consider wide receiver one of the top needs on the team, because all of a sudden you're missing a starter and this isn't a great free agent group. So now you're worried you're going to find a starter. Steelers have almost always done that through the draft. So whether or not he's back or not is pretty much, I mean, it's indicative of what they could take one in the first round, or they could not take one at all, or take one late day three. But that's the difference between him being back or not, is whether they have a huge crying need at the position if he isn't.
Yeah, it certainly seems like if they were to get back, let's say, you know, people have been talking about a high second round pick, that kind of thing, feels like that may be the spot for a wide receiver. And then before we get to the mock draft itself, I do want to know, you know, when you went into this, what are the Steelers' biggest needs right now in your mind?
I think cornerback is obviously the big one. I mean, you have Joe Hayden on one side, but toward the end of the year, it felt like weren't even really confident in Mike Hilton starting in the slot. And on the outside, you know, obviously Artie Burns is somebody that you're moving on from. So I think find another corner to start there. That obviously isn't sensible. That isn't Sutton. So both of those spots potentially. So they could be looking for a nickel as well if they don't bring him back. Or even if they bring him back, look for competition for that spot. And then I think the other outside corner spot opposite Hayden is one where you almost have to find a good young player, I think, unless you're training for a really elite player, I think, like a Patrick Peterson or something. Yeah. Like, you almost have to look to the draft because you don't have any youth at the position. You don't have anything worth developing at the position. So, I mean, even if they were to acquire, you know, Patrick Peterson or something like that, I still think if Joe Hayden aging, they need a good young corner to develop there and to start and play eventually. So, you know, I still think it would be a crying need for them, even if they didn't necessarily need a guy to start. Getting somebody in there that can play as soon as next season, you know, because the wheels are going to come off for him at some point here. So,
yeah.
You know, getting a player of that ilk, I think, is really, really important for them. So, to me, corner's the top priority. And then I think there's some versatility to safety that could be an issue for them, too. I mean, if they're comfortable with Sean Davis back at free safety, which he can be upgraded. So I think that's one thing to look at. Do you want to upgrade on Sean Davis? Also, how much do you want to use three safety packages? Because it's not Morgan Burnett. Nobody on the roster that kind of fits that mold at all. So if you want to do that, you know, do you want bring in a guy that can play free safety and maybe get some more turnovers than Sean Davis, and then you bump Sean Davis to strong safety and Edmonds to the slot in those situations? So exactly how you want to use those guys is going to determine which type of safety you want to acquire in the draft. And hopefully we'll learn more about that in the upcoming months. So that could be a consideration as well. Obviously, linebacker, since the Shazier injury, there's been a crying need at linebacker. I would say they need two starters, but I'm sure they're going to ride with Vince Williams for at least one more year in the starting lineup. But finding one other starter is imperative as well. It's not a good linebacker class.
So that's something to keep in mind when you're looking at linebackers for the Steelers. And then I think, you know, other places, obviously we talked about wide receiver, but the depth situation is going to be worth monitoring with Jesse James, you know, status up in the air. Guard as well with Ramon Foster up in the air. Do you trust Finney to step in and be that guy? And then the depth on the interior defensive line, you know, probably no more McCullers, Alulu, LT Walton. You know, there's a lot of names up in the air that are the depth guys. And frankly, none of those guys have been really good pass rushers, and the Steelers haven't had depth on the interior defensive line in a pass rush sense in a while. So, you know, Hargrave's coming along really nicely in that way, but if they could find a fourth guy kind of on that interior defensive line that could rush the passer, you know, sometime late on day three, I think that would help as well.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. So let's get into your mock draft itself. You start round one. It's not Greedy Williams. In fact, you say it won't be DeAndre Baker or Byron Murphy. What about Byron Murphy and DeAndre Baker? Because those are usually the other guys you hear when you talk about the defensive backs in this draft alongside Greedy Williams. What about DeAndre Baker and Byron Murphy do you think the Steelers are going to be turned off by?
Well, I think it's the size for Byron Murphy. He's a small corner. He just has a small frame. You know, he's very wiry. He plays physical. I think he'll be a solid athlete, but the Steelers have really kind of looked for bigger, longer, athletic type of defensive backs, especially guys that are going to play outside. So I think that's the priority for them, is to find guys that can do that, maybe play a little bit of more press as well. And I think Byron Murphy is more of an off-zone type of corner. So trying to transition to some press and playing more man. And I think that they may be interested in a bigger, longer type of corner, maybe one who tests maybe a little better than Murphy even will. And with Baker, I think it's, you know, a number of different things. He's not very good run support, I think, so that's definitely an issue for Pittsburgh. I don't think they want a repeat of Artie Burns in that way, and Joe Hayden's already not a great run-defending corner either, so you're kind of in a situation where you don't want to continue to add to that as a weakness, because it's really bit the Steelers in the butt the last couple of years, not having good run-defending corners. So that's something to consider with him. Also, not supposed to test that great from everything that we hear and from watching him on tape. I don't think athleticism will be his calling card, and size won't be his calling card either. So kind of the surface-level criteria for Pittsburgh takes him off the table. I think other corners, honestly, with worse tape, like Juwan Williams from Vanderbilt or maybe Alonnie Johnson from Kentucky, who really his tape is bad, but that hasn't stopped the Steelers before from overdrafting at the position. And so I want to say first round, probably not a consideration for those guys, but you never know. The testing in Indy will be huge for the corner group, because the Steelers just aren't going to take a bad athlete at corner. I mean, they're probably not going to take a small corner either if they're looking for an outside starter. So I think the testing and the measurables in Indy will be something every Steelers fan really needs to keep an eye on.
Absolutely, yeah. Keep your eye on the combine, the pro days, because you're absolutely right. You look at what the Terrell Edmonds that they took a year ago. I mean, that's more of a size speed guy than a football player. All right, let's get to your first round pick here. Florida defensive back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. He played a lot of slot at Florida. Steelers may be looking for more of an outside corner, but it sounds like you think he can transition, maybe be more of a versatile defensive back.
Yeah, he played free safety, played strong safety, played in the box, played in the slot, played just about everywhere for Florida except outside corner. But I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of teams see him as an outside corner in this class if he tests well enough. I think it is going to be important that he tests well enough, but I think he's a really good athlete. I think everything I've heard, his testing is going great so far, and he's going to really impress at the combine. But he has main coverage skills. He has size. He has the attitude you want. He has a lot of traits that you want to play in an outside corner. You know, he'd be a big nickel if he played in the nickel. So the versatility he gives you is great. It allows you to play three safety packages. And really, he's almost like having another corner on the field. So you're not even giving up anything in terms of man coverage having him on the field. But he can also blitz. He plays around the line of scrimmage for Florida. They use him all over the place. And he does a lot of different things for them. And he's a good athlete with a great size. And so it kind of fits exactly what the Steelers are looking for, except he isn't truly an outside corner. So I do think that's going to be important. You know, do they have the crying needed outside corner? If so, who is on the board? But the way I did this mock, Greedy Williams off the board at this point in the draft, Devin White off the board at this point in the draft, I don't know if they're going to go for a smaller linebacker or a smaller, slower corner. So, and I'm not ready to have them reach for one of the corners I mentioned, Juwan Williams or Lonnie Johnson or Trayvon Mullen at number 20. So, you know, in my mind, it was like, okay, who's the best guy that can help the team? They can play every down somewhere on the defense that can help the team at a position of need. And to me, that guy was Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. So I think his stock, his the steam around his name will pick up after the combine. I'm surprised it hasn't yet, but I really feel like the combine is going to turn that table for him.
Interesting. And then in the second round, you have the Steelers taking Clemson cornerback Trayvon Mullen. He maybe fits more of that athletic traits that we were talking about. A big guy, fast, but you know, maybe the tape maybe not there for Trayvon.
Yeah, he's a guy I'm afraid that they'll consider in round one. If they don't take him in round one, he's sitting there round two as he was in this simulation. You know, I was kind of like, man, I don't think they'll pass on him even if they take Chauncey, because, like I said, they need good young talent in the secondary. And Trayvon Mullen's not ready to play right away. Ideally, the Steelers would get him and play him as their fourth corner. You know, they have a nickel, whether it's Hilton or somebody else that they drafted. They acquire an outside corner, and then Mullen's your fourth corner, and you develop him. I think that would be the ideal scenario. His technique needs time to come along. You know, he really is off balance a lot. His press technique, a lot to be desired. But he has man coverage traits. They say he's going to test well. He looks pretty athletic on tape. So I think that the upside is where you're getting excited about Trayvon Mullen. But I think right now, definitely not a finished product and not somebody you want playing right away. I would be scared about it because the Steelers have been so bad at developing corners and defensive backs in general. But at the same time, I tried to keep the mock as realistic as I could. And I said, if this guy's sitting there, this is a very Steelers-esque pick type of player that they would take. And I think that it would make sense for them. I think he'll be a guy on the radar. We'll see how well he tests in Indy. But don't be surprised if you hear a lot of connection between Mullen and Pittsburgh over the coming months.
Interesting. And then going into round three, the wide receiver off the board, the Steelers take Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Sounds like this guy's more of a speed guy, deep threat. You know, the Steelers tried to get this in James Washington a year ago, and that was, you know, failure year one. We'll see how he develops in year two. Tell me more about Terry McLaurin and his game.
He does have the speed element that gets people excited, but he really is a good route runner. He can win in the short intermediate areas too. You know, he is fast. I don't know that I would say he's great in contested catch situations or has great ball skills or anything like that. But also, you know, they kind of spread the ball around Ohio State, rotated receivers. So how does he handle full workload, things like that? But I was super impressed. He was one of the best players, honestly, in Mobile. He was really uncoverable for people. I think he's out to prove that he's a little bit more than his college tape even says that he is, because Ohio State's offense didn't always ask a ton of complicated stuff from him. So I would say his ability as a route runner is really good. He's just got to consistently be in an offense that allows him to consistently run the full route tree, which Pittsburgh obviously will. So I think there's elements to his game that make a lot of sense for Pittsburgh. Not a finished product either, but if you're waiting until round three to get a wide receiver, you're probably not getting the best one in the draft or anything. But I think McLaurin really has a lot of potential to be a lot better in the NFL, a lot more productive in the NFL than he was in college. And I think that even with James Washington still being a vertical threat, A, you can have another one of those guys. That doesn't hurt. Steelers didn't really have one last year. But B, I think that McLaurin can do a little bit more versatility. And I think you have to wonder how much Washington, you know, the lack of speed that he has is really going to make him a true burner. So are there going to be situations and matchups he can't win in that way? So you have some vertical ability with him, but I think it is going to be more in the contested catch type of situation, you know, throwing back shoulder stuff and things like that to him in the red zone. I don't know that James Washington's ever going to be a true speedster. Not that he can't have plays down the field, but that speed element, you know, to take the top off of defense and to make safeties think twice over the top, I think that is something Pittsburgh's missing. I don't think Washington brings him that. Doesn't mean he can't win vertically, but he's not scaring safeties the way that speed like McLaurin's will. So McLaurin hits in the 4.3, you know, there's a lot of talk he'll run 4.38, 4.39, something like that. If he hits in that range, his stock's really going to take a jump.
Yeah. How is this wide receiver class overall? I think it sounds like, again, we're going to have another wide receiver class where there maybe isn't a true, you know, quote-unquote number one guy. But is this a deeper class? I mean, if the Steelers, clearly they have a need at wide receiver. If they're waiting until, you know, the later parts of the draft, is there still going to be talent available?
Yeah, I think there will be. This is a really good wide receiver class. You know, the trouble with a team that loses their number one wide receiver is fans tend to think we need another number one wide receiver. Yeah. And that might be true. That's probably true, but it doesn't mean that it's going to happen. I mean, you're not going to get Antonio Brown in this draft or anybody who's going to produce anything close to Antonio Brown in this draft. So it is about being smart, too, and recognizing, you know, you have Juju, you have Switzer, you have James Washington, and I think that they clearly need another receiver. And if that happens at number 20, if they lose AB and that pick has to happen at number 20, you know, then so be it. That's fine. But, you know, the way this mock fell and the way that I was kind of looking at things was like, I still think fixing that secondary is the most important thing. And you've got to kind of find ways to win with the receivers you got in some ways. But yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think the biggest thing you can do is test other dimensions of the field, where I know Juju's had success vertically, but he's not a speedster. He's going to have to do a lot of different things. You can't keep safeties, you know, over top of him all the time. You've got to add a speed element to your team and a vertical threat element to your team. You're not going to be able to dominate. You know, the Steelers, when they scored touchdowns last year, almost always it was they drove the ball down the field and they scored in the red zone, yeah, which is something they hadn't done in years past. That's great, but you have to be able to hit splash plays. And when they couldn't sustain drives, they weren't putting up points in those games. And so you have to be able to hit a big vertical play over the top, and they just didn't have that element to their offense this year. So that's why I gave McLaurin and then Darius Slayton later in the draft, you know, because he also has that speed element, but I think he could be more as well. So I think that adding that element to the team, but also those guys are a little more dynamic than maybe that they're not just one-trick ponies either. And the Steelers have developed receiver talent really well, and I think both those guys are kind of high-character, hard-working types that could come along in that way. So they're the type I think the Steelers would target. They add a little dimension to the offense that isn't currently there, and I think they can be the type of receiver that would help out Juju Smith-Schuster in the case of Antonio Brown leaving.
No running back taken in your mock draft. Are you comfortable with where the Steelers are right now at the running back position with Connor and then Jalen Samuels as his backup? Is there room maybe there for a change of pace guy, Darnell Henderson from Memphis, that type of player to be added to the mix?
I think there is. I mean, it's possible, but it wouldn't be a priority of mine, no, especially if they need a wide out. You know, I would spend all your first three picks on defense for sure, probably your first four. You know, I mean, I think that's where they got to go. You know, if you're talking about one of those late-round picks, I mean, you want to take one on a running back, okay. But, you know, to me, I'd pick up anybody in the offseason for cheap or that third running back spot. It's just you can just find so many players to produce at that position. And
Yeah. The
reality is that guy's probably not seeing the field for Pittsburgh, you know, if those two guys stay healthy. And, you know, if they don't, you're probably in trouble anyway. So, I mean, it's an option for them, sure. I mean, I would rule it out late, but it's got to be late. It's day three for sure. You know, we're not talking about one of their first picks. It just can't be. There's too many other positions to consider that they need, you know, especially where it sits right now. I mean, who knows by the time we get to the draft, but the Steelers aren't very active in free agency. So I would expect most of these holes to still be there. And so, yeah, how they address them will determine where running back falls. But right now I'd say that's a definite day three thing, type of thing to look at.
And then one of my other crazy ideas this offseason, when I think about, you know, how does this Steeler offense replace the productivity of an Antonio Brown? Yeah, you know, the Steelers have toyed in the past, and you brought up the depth at tight end. This is a tight end heavy class up top. You know, Noah Fant, Hockenson, and Irv Smith from Alabama. Could the Steelers, you know, throw a monkey wrench in this whole thing and maybe take a tight end early in that way, you think? Or is that too crazy, too out there?
Probably too crazy to do that early, yeah. I mean, it's somewhere in the draft. I don't think it's out of the question. But again, you know, you think about the needs that you really got a value. I mean, I think you have to, like, you can't go into next season with this current linebacker group. You just can't do it again.
Yeah.
You got to find a more impactful player there. And then I think at corner as well. And we haven't even talked about edge pass rusher, but it's going to be so interesting to see what they do there, because clearly Bud Dupree has not panned out, but they have that one more year with him. And he's gotten clearly it's not going to be anywhere close to what they need. Obviously, Watt on one side, then no depth at the position at all. I mean, I like Ola Adonai, or however you say his last name, but I don't know that he's going to be like, it's just, we don't know. We haven't seen him enough to know whether he'll actually be able to be the third edge or whatever this season. Chicolo, you know, shouldn't be a factor. I think his contract's up, but he shouldn't be a factor anyway. He shouldn't be a player that they bring back. They need pass rush help. They need somebody who can come in and help on rushdowns, you know, whether they like it or not. It doesn't mean they can't get sacks without him. It's just nice to have another guy that can win 1v1 off the edge. And so I think that has to be a priority. I would look for a starter, but they probably aren't going to do that with their other needs. But that's another position I'd value before tight end and running back, because I think you need pass rushers. And so I would say edge and corner or maybe even safety if you're looking for a third safety or a nickel safety or whatever. Just finding help in the secondary, however you see it, you know, one or two guys in the secondary, I think is huge. And then linebacker, edge, And then maybe, you know, in wide receiver, and then maybe we start talking about tight end and running back. But you got to go with good players that are on the board for sure, and some of those needs will be filled in the offseason. But I'm a big Vance McDonald fan, and I know he's been hurt a little bit, and that's the only reason people hesitate. But, you know, I think getting a solid depth tight end behind him is okay, whether that's in free agency or late in the draft. I wouldn't say it's a top priority.
All right, well, if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're saying, hey, I could put together a better mock draft than what John just put together. John, you guys are launching the new mock draft machine. When is that? Tell people about this, the mock draft machine you guys are launching.
Yeah, February 25th. That's the Monday of Combine Week. We'll be launching, actually relaunching our site, to be honest. The site's going to be at a total new look to it. Yeah, all custom build and everything. It's unbelievable. It's totally blowing our minds how good it looks and everything. But yeah, the company that's developing has developed our mock draft machine, algorithm, and everything. And you can go in, you can mock draft for the Steelers. You can do 7 rounds, 1 round, 3 rounds, whatever you want to do. You can mock draft for every team if you want to. You can just do a first round. You can do a full 256, you know, 7 round mock draft for all 32 teams if you want. So it's going to allow the user to do a lot of different things. It should be pretty fun. And then obviously, build your own big board is going to be another aspect of that where fans can go in. And they can actually build their own board, and they can, you know, by position, you can do your position groups and everything. You know, if you can stack your board of quarterbacks, board of running backs, whatever it might be, you can save your boards on the site. You can do all kinds of stuff. So it's going to allow people to create their own boards off of our huge database of players. And from there, they can kind of use their own board if they wanted to. They can actually plug it in to the mock draft machine, and they can draft the entire mock or the first round or whatever they want to do off of their own board, depending on how long it is, obviously. So, yeah, I think that's going to be pretty cool features for the user, and we're excited about those rolling out on February 25th.
Awesome. You can find that at thedraftnetwork.com. You can also find John's 7-round mock on there again, thedraftnetwork.com. John, thanks again for coming on.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again to John for coming on. Had a lot of fun talking to him today about the NFL draft. I know it's a little early because we haven't even had the combine yet. And as John says, you know, the combine, those testing scores, they're going to play a huge role in the types of defensive players the Steelers are going to be taking. So, you know, when we talk about Chardney Gardner-Johnson, you know, he's going to have to test well in order for the Steelers to want to draft him. And you look at guys, you know, you'd be surprised at how many guys are listed at 6'1 in college and they show up at the combine and they've shrunk by a couple inches and now they're 5'11. Pay attention to that kind of stuff because the Steelers really do it. And if you're looking for hints as to who the Steelers are likely to take, you know, they are much more likely to take a guy who is a size and speed guy who maybe doesn't look so good on tape rather than the guy who looks great on tape but doesn't test so well. So pay attention to that over the next couple weeks. Hope you guys enjoyed this whole week of podcasts. I mean, this is some of the most fun I've had doing it. You know, Matt Williamson, Christopher Carter, John Ledyard, all in the same week. I had a lot of fun doing it. I know this wasn't a great week for us Steeler fans, as we're talking about. We spent the majority of this week talking about Antonio Brown, you know, his trade request, how to replace him, and, you know, who in the draft the Steelers are going to be looking at taking. But I had a lot of fun doing this. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll be back on Monday for more Locked On Steelers.